This is one of my favorite pictures of the Nativity. And last night at the 5 o'clock Mass, I said that somebody had taken a picture of that with their iPhone, because it's so clear. I've been preaching at Christmas for over 15 years. And every once in a while, I'm challenged to think of something new to say. And I guess the reality is that it speaks for itself. The feast speaks for itself. If we read Scripture, there is a whole list of incidences where God intervened in human history. The flood, a little bit. Sodom and Gomorrah. The time where the Jewish people spent in the desert and were led by either a pillar of fire or a pillar of clouds. The conversations that the prophets had with God over the years, the intimacy that the Jewish people shared with this God who created them and then entered again and again and again into covenants with them that we again and again and again somehow broke. But God's love continued. God's love and the plan that began with the fall continued to unfold. And last night, before the midnight Mass, the proclamation was sung, and it says, "The whole world being at peace." I wonder what that's like. The whole world being at peace. Jesus Christ was born. That moment in human history is unparalleled. God became man, became like you and I, as a child, like all of us, began as a child, innocent, unprotected, probably hungry, as infants are. That's a powerful statement of love by this triune God that we worship and honor and show praise to. And when we stand in front of that, what else is there to say? But God sent his only Son to be like us in all things but sin. It says it in the Eucharistic prayer that we're going to read today. He was just like us in all things, but sin. And so it goes back, and we've talked about this before, about these yeses and these noes that we live with in our lives. The Son of God said to his Father, "I will do it. I love you so much that I will help you carry out the plan that began so long ago. I will take up the yoke of humanity, and I will live my life to honor you and to praise you and to help the people that I touch come to a deeper understanding of how powerful this love is that you have for us." And so he did. It starts here. And we know the story. We're going to hear the story very soon. I love the liturgical calendar. On January 6th, we baptize, or we do the Epiphany. The wise people come. And then a week later, we baptize him. 30 years in a week. You have to wear your seatbelt because it travels very fast. But each moment in the gospel that we talk about Jesus shows this yes, shows this love that emanates from him in honor of the Father, driven by the Holy Spirit. It's a triune God. Although we talk about Jesus, the Son, God showed up. God the Father, God the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, was incarnate in this man. That's the power of God's plan. That was the power of God's love. And so we're confronted with that this morning. And we're confronted with it every year. But this is the first year for me where it really just sort of hit home. Particularly when I heard the part about the whole world being at peace, because it's not. It's not anywhere close to being at peace. And we don't have to look very far to see the chaos and the fear and the anger and the violence and the dismay and the concern and the fear that lives in our world today. We don't have to look very far. And so as Catholics, we're confronted with how do we respond to that? What do we do? How do we show God's love to the people around us in such a way that it impacts them? The way that it impacts us in our community and in our lives, in our spiritual lives, in our prayer lives, in our ministry. I don't have the answer. You've heard me say from here that prayer always wins the day, and it does. But sometimes that doesn't feel like it's enough. Sometimes we pray and bad things happen anyway. And so we ask ourselves, what's the point? That's the point. We all began as children. We were raised, and sometimes the holidays are a challenge for us because of people that we have lost, or people who are not in our lives that we would like to have, or they are far away. So the holidays can be a challenge for us. I keep saying to people that Christmas is an 8-day feast, it's an octave. And I think that the church fathers did that so that we can get to all of the Christmas activities that we have to cram into the 8 days, because we have to go to St. Louis, or we have to go to Kansas City, or we have to go to Iowa, or we have to go to Pittsburgh, or somebody's coming in, and so they have to be here on Saturday, but they can't be here next Saturday, so we have to do it on Tuesday. Is that sound familiar to anybody? That's why it takes 8 days to celebrate Christmas. That and the fact that we stand in awe of this moment. When the world stood still, the angels sang of the glory that was about to come. And then the angels stepped back, and for 33 years they waited, because in 33 years, this child shows us the resurrection. And the angels who could not stop the agony in the garden or the crucifixion show up on Easter, because that's the victory. It starts here. Without Easter, the birth is meaningless. Without the birth, Easter is meaningless. It all comes together in a package. God's power, God's love. I'm using it more and more. God's relentless love. God's not going to give up. God's not going to surrender. God's not going to let go. And so, as a new year rolls around, we are faced with our own challenges. Has anybody not seen The Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge? Has anybody missed that movie? There's a line in the movie toward the end where whatever character is playing Ebenezer Scrooge in that particular iteration of The Christmas Carol says, "I will live Christmas every day in my heart." Wouldn't that be an interesting year if we woke up every morning and say, today is Christmas? I guess we'll have to see, won't we? God's present in our lives. I guess we have to decide if we're going to be present to God.